Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Lord, your word is anointed. Let it take root and let it bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name. I love to see children sowing, teaching them young. It's important. Okay. So today, how many of you have been really growing through the, I just want to ask the question. You've been really growing through this grace series. Yes. Growing in grace. Things that used to probably torment you in terms of accusation and just demonic warfare in the mind, it's not happening as frequently because you're not how to shut it down, right? You hope you're feeling more free, more loved, more empowered than you've ever felt before. This last section I went through on it, that miracles, signs, and wonders follow us because we believe, I felt like I finished that up. So I want to get on to number 13 today. And so I'm not going to go through the whole list of review, but we've just learned so much that we're justified, we're sanctified, we're set apart, we're all those words that I broke down. And because of grace, we're empowered, we overcome all weakness, and sin has no dominion over us anymore. Amen? So even though our flesh sometimes still sins, the sin doesn't have dominion over us because we have the power of Christ on the inside of us operating. In Jesus' name, we overcome and we get up and we keep going forward. We move in deeper into our calling and our destiny. And so today, I want to talk about gifts, spiritual gifts, because every one of you have been given a gift. Because of grace, I want you to say this, because of grace, I have a spiritual gift and I'm to use it with grace to build up others, not beat them down. Okay. A lot of us are getting healed right now because we had people that were genuinely graced by God with spiritual gifts, but they didn't use them with grace. That's the key right there. They weren't used with grace. And so we're in a season right now where we're going to operate, we're going to find out what these gifts are in our lives, and we're going to operate with grace. You know, every fellowship would be filled with happy, joyful, empowered, on fire witnesses for Jesus if leadership knew how to treat them and how to love them, and how to use the gifts that God has given to them to release other people into their destiny. But, and I don't want to keep going off about the church, but the religion, let's just talk about that, just religion. The church is basically God's body of believers that, you know, have been saved by grace. But organizations have gotten in the way, denominations have gotten in the way. And we've had a lot of pride in the pulpit, a lot of pride in the pews. I'm not just going to pick on the pulpit. When we find out we've got a gift and there's power attached to that gift, it's very important that we stay humble and that we realize that we all have one and that it's a gift from God to help other people. Not to just make other people look at us and say, wow, you're important and you're powerful and, you know, all that, but to feel loved and to be built up. So I've got a lot of text today. How many of you love the Bible? Hopefully you do. I'm feeling more than ever that I don't just want to bring in a point in a sermon, but I really want to give you the Bible. Like we're reading the Bible in this church, in church services. Wow. Go figure, you know. So today, stay with me because I've got quite a bit of text. Romans 12:8. or 12, 6 through 8 in the New King James. We're just going to lay the foundation for this. Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace, and I bolded that. Having gifts then differing, so whoever's next to you has a different gift than you, but it's according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So we're to be using them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. Now, he's talking about grace here. Use the grace in your teaching. Use the grace in your ministering. Use the grace in your exhortation. If it's exhortation, do that. If your grace gift is giving, which mine is, Pastor Rick used to get so scared. He's like, are you sure we can give all our money away? I'm like, yeah. There's more where that came from. But see, the person with the gift of giving, the grace of giving, has a certain grace for that. So don't feel bad if your war is, oh, how am I going to manage that? How am I going to give? You know, you still have to stay in faith. But a person who has the gift of giving, they don't worry about that. They'll give houses, lands, cars, whatever away. It's just a grace on their life. It's easier for them. Don't you wish all your children had that? Oh, there'd be less fighting in the house over who gets what, right? And then he who leads, if you've got a grace for leading, do it with diligence. So Paul's laying this out. And he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. You know, and that's so important. A mercy gift is someone who, they immediately see the owie, the pain, the sorrow in someone's life, and they're so attracted to that. There's a grace on their life to help people who are really, really hurting. And now, let me just say this. Not every prophet has this. Prophets tend to be very blunt. They can come across very aloof, very cold, but they hear the revelation from heaven. So it's important that a person with the grace of prophecy on their lives learns a few things from the person of mercy, the one with the gift of mercy. So that's why God puts us all together so we can kind of balance each other out. But if you're a mercy gift person, you know, you won't like prophets very much. Because they're just in and out. They don't want to sit there and hear about the boo-boo. They're going to leave you there to deal with it, right? But the tendency with the mercy gift person is that they take on so much hurt and so much sorrow and so much pain that it weighs them down. And many times people with mercy gift gets depressed. Have you ever met that person? They're just always, they're attracted to pain because God graced them with that, but they don't know how to get back into joy. So Paul is exhorting here, and he's saying, if you have this mercy gift on your life, do it with cheerfulness. So you're going to need to really pray in the Spirit so that well of joy is constantly bubbling up inside of you, and learn how to offload a lot of that stuff you carry. You've been designed to carry it. You're graced to carry more than most people. But don't let it break you down, okay? So over in Ephesians 4, let me lay the groundwork for this. Paul is, he's addressing again the grace gifts of Christ. And I'm going to really get into a lot of text this morning. So in Ephesians 4, Paul is he's in prison. He's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus as a Roman prisoner. If you've ever watched anything on the Roman Empire, you will know this about Rome. It was different than Jerusalem. Rome was known for debauchery, and you know, Paul's over there writing to a new church that was like steeped in witchcraft, and these are new believers. A lot of them are Gentiles, and they don't know anything other than just, you know, as soon as you come into your adult years, and I'm going to be gracious because they're probably children in here this morning, but you know what I'm talking about. As soon as you start to come into your man and femalehood, there are no rules. They don't know about living a life that is safe, pleasing to the Lord. It's just, you know, there are no rules, and you can figure that out on your own. So he's basically dealing with these people, and he's also trying to teach them that the gift, there's a lot of gifts around you. How many of you met the psychic, the seer, the whatever, and they know things. They literally know things. That is a God-given gift in their life, but they just don't know who the source of that gift is. So it gets perverted and it starts getting used in the wrong way. The enemy gets a hold of it. But I want to show you some things today. So Paul's basically laying a groundwork for this church, and he's talking to these people that they were just all over the place. And they're new, and they need to learn how to use these grace gifts in a way that will benefit other people. And so he starts off with, as a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling. So let me just back up. Because of grace, I'm called, right? Remember that? Because of grace, I'm called. So Paul is, he's telling him, look, you're not some lowlife. You're not some lowlife. I don't care what you've been doing or where you've been, where you came from. You now have a high rank. Amen? I can say that to all of you. You have a very high rank. In the spirit world, you're higher than any sorcerer, any warlock, anything in the demonic. You have a very high rank. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a high rank. See, we've got to start to get a hold of this. It's not just about, you know, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I have power over sin, it has no dominion over me, and, you know, I'm just going to try to do the best I can and get through life and you know, make it in the gates. No. You've been elevated. Now, you have a very high rank in the Spirit. And this is not just for apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is for all of you. But Paul's saying, which he had told them earlier in Ephesians 2, look, it's not about circumcision. It's not about any of the rules. It's not about rituals. It's not about any of that. You're already in. Like, you're in the royal family. You've been sealed to the day of redemption. You're in. You have a position. You have a rank. And it's not because of anything you did or could do. It's because of what Christ did. Right? You died with him. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you died with him. Now you've been resurrected with Christ. You're seated in heavenly places at the place of authority. And he's telling them that, you know, Christ already dismantled all those principalities and powers and all their sham authority, and he gave it to you. And so now, as you start to understand who you are, I want you to start to live into this. Live into your calling. Live into this position of holiness that the Lord has given to you. And then he goes on and says how, in verse 2, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. Lord Jesus. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. So, Mama Doreen, your destiny is just as important as mine. You know? Wendy, your destiny is just as important as mine. And what we've seen traditionally over the last several decades, especially within the so-called, I call it the cultural Christian church, is we've seen this superstar mentality, this you know, there's these rising stars in the Christian community, and they're the ones that, you know, they have all the influence, they have all the power, they have all the wealth, and we're all just trying to get to where they're at, to get to this level. And Paul was leveling the playing field, and he's saying, look, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and every single one of you are important. You all came into the same glorious hope. You all have a divine destiny, and I want to teach you how to appropriate the grace that's been given to you to rise up and do what God's called you to do. And then he says, for the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. That verse right there probably disturbs denominationalism. Right? What do you mean by that, Pastor Bernard, denominationalism? Well, the so-called Church of the Living God decided, well, we're going to believe this, and we're going to have all these variances in terms of our theology. So now we're the church, right? So that's why you have Calvinism and you have the Reformation and you have the Pentecostals and you have the Church of Christ and the Church of God and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the, you know, Episcopalians and all the aliens. And we've just become this big divided mess. Yes? This is not what Paul taught. We need to get back to the Bible. He said, we're all one. It's not you against us and us against you. We're one. And the Lord God is one, and so are we. We all share in one faith, one baptism, one Father, and he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. He works through us all. So Jason, God's working through you. Just as powerfully as he's working through me. I can't do everything you do and meet all the people you do. You're going to be in front of people that I'll never be in front of. Amen? So we all have to catch this. God's working through me. Say that right now. God's working through me. And there's a gift and there's a grace on your life. I get around somebody and I can just see it. Like they do something and love it and they're passionate about it. And I have no grace for that. And I'm thankful that they have that. And so Paul goes into now the grace gift. So he lays the groundwork first out of the gate. Look, you've been called into this royal family. You have this high rank. I want you to see yourself as important, positionally powerful. Right? It's not about what they're doing over there in Jerusalem, what they're doing over there in Achaia, what they're doing over there. Look, you're just as powerful as born over here in Rome in the middle of all this mess as they are over there. We're all one. And God's working through all of us. And then he says, and he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace, according to the size of the gift of Christ. This is why he says, he ascends into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him, and gifts were given to men. Now, in other versions, it says, he who descended also ascended, and then he just arbitrarily gave gifts to men. So Christ wasn't going, well, if you fasted enough, and you paid enough tithes, and you attended enough Bible studies, then you'll be qualified for a gift. No. He just ascended and said, I need gifts on the earth, and I'm going to distribute them. And then, you know, God's always interceding. I'll intercede that one day they're saved and they use them for me. Amen? So it says he ascended. Means that he returned to heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even to the lower regions, namely the earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries, so there he's talking above, he's talking about the offices. He gave grace gifts. He calls them gifts. The fivefold ministry. The apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. So he gave those gifts to his family so that they could encourage, build up, teach, and impart ministry, responsibility, ministry into you, and that you are to do the work of the ministry. Amen? You're the one that's been graced with ministry. Well, what does that look like? Well, what it looks like is when someone shows up in front of you and they need prayer. They need an encouraging word. They need love. They need whatever it is that they need from you that you have to give them. You're the point of contact. You're the minister. And we've had it lopsided. It's like, you know, 15 people do ministry in this church. Pastor Verna and the worship team and, you know, a few that do some other things, maybe lead a life group. No. It's been flipped for way too long. Yes, there's a ministry gift on my life, but it's to equip you to go out and actually do the work of the ministry. And it's, you know, the more you pick that up and take responsibility for that, more exciting it gets. How many of you can remember, like, somebody called you and you were praying that morning and whatever, and then they called you and all up out of you starts to flow all this wisdom that you didn't even know you had. And before you know it, they're crying and they're thanking you, and you just like, man, I don't know where that scripture came from. That was, you know, that was so awesome, and it was just right there. It's because God's gifted you and he's graced you to be the minister that they need in that moment. Amen? And if we will take a hold of that, God will start to use us in a greater way. So he says there, these grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man, which is Christ, with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. God is looking for this maturity in his people. And Paul goes on to say in verse 14, and then our immaturity will end. Then when? When every one of you and I actually grab a hold of these grace gifts and stop condemning ourselves. Remember, we're not under a ministry of condemnation. We're under the ministry of grace. Yes, we're flawed. Yes, we come from all kinds of different backgrounds. But guess what? Christ redeemed you by his shed blood. He elevated you, gave you a high spiritual rank, and you are a walking power source on the earth. You are. I look forward to the day when all of our immaturity will end. And here's what Paul says right after that. He says, and we will not be easily shaken by trouble. I love that. You know, nor led astray by novel teaching or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. What was happening was, as the message was getting out, these people were seeing that, hey, people are attracted to them. There's influence here, these ministers. And so many of them start trying to figure out how to preach, how to, like, get a gathering, how to get an offering, whatever. And now they're basically teaching heresy, and it's been going on for as long as the church has been established. But Paul is saying, the more that you lean into God, pray, love your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and believe in the calling that God has placed on your life, the more you do that, you're going to be instrumental in not only maturing yourself, but helping other people not to be deceived and taken to the cleaners by these liars. Amen? Verse 15 says, but instead, so part of this is, once you start walking in your calling, you start, you know, spending time in the Word, you start to mature, you want to mature other people. I know that if I were to ask, many of you have been bothered by that. Like, you saw somebody starting to grow in their faith, and all of a sudden they were starting to do really good, and insert third voice, somebody who's power tripping with a gift. They don't really love God, but they have... Why are you guys laughing? But they do have a measure of a gift on their life. And now all of a sudden that third voice is in there, and you see them starting to do really badly. You know they're going to come under the control and the power of that thing, and off they go. And you're like, where's Ken Shamrock when I need him? Right? It says, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his church, or his body, the church. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. Now, stay with me. I like to read a sentence and then teach. I saw a post the other day that I loved. It's okay to be friends with people that leave your church and go somewhere else. We're not a gang. You can clap for that. Like, I believe in loyalty, but many places have gotten like this weird thug mentality. You know, if you're not with us, homie, you know, we're going to come over and like slice you. You can't go to this other church. I will catch you. You know, it's like, no, we, my preacher's better than your preacher. I am. Just kidding. Such pride. I repent in Jesus' name. But listen, you know, we get this like sense of sort of familial pride, and we sometimes can get like a gang mentality. And I love going out and being around the bigger, larger body of believers and just watching like the family of God. It's really quite beautiful and extraordinary and awkward and weird and uncomfortable and beautiful and all of these things. Why are you guys laughing? It's like, man, we don't do that at our church. That's weird. But they love Jesus. Cool. You know, like the first time you see someone like leaping around, dancing and twirling with ribbons and all that. And, you know, that's cool. If anybody wants to break out with that, like, just don't hit anybody in the head. We used to do that. Like, you know, I'm not against it. If that's what makes you feel close to Jesus. But we get into these, well, that's just weird. I don't understand that. Listen, you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to understand anything. What you need to understand is, have we surrendered our life to Christ? He's the head of the church. We don't have some superstar mentality in this house, right? We don't have some upper echelon of leadership. I'm right there like Jesus. We walk among the people. We'll all clean the toilets and the parking lot together. But we're all powerful together. Amen? So he says here, we're connected as one, and every member has been given divine grace gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. Your gift is not for you. It's cool to have one, but your gift is for someone else. Amen? So the more, you know, I've seen so many people that they just feel like they're backsliding and they have no fire anymore and they're just, you know, their faith is waning. And like, I ask them, when's the last time you really used your gift? You know, if you've got the gift of prophecy on your life and you don't never prophesy, you start to shrivel up. If you've got the gift of evangelism on your life and you never share the gospel with anybody, you start to shrivel up. You feel so alive when you operate in the gift that God gave to you. Amen? How many of you have had that happen? Like, it's been a long time since you gave a word to somebody, and you know, you're the prophet, and all of a sudden, you know, you're dealing with your own issues, and yeah, you're praying, and yeah, you're doing your thing, but all of, and you haven't written a prophetic word down in what God's been showing you in a long time. You're just kind of tucking it away in your heart. That's cool, but gifts are meant to flow out. And then all of a sudden, one day, you know, you just like, even if it's something small, you know, the Lord just showed me something, I want to share something with you. All of a sudden, woo, you're back in love with Jesus, man, I'm on fire. Because when you aren't operating to build up others and actually be flowing out with your gift, you start to shrivel. And so I want to ignite you today and just say, look, because of grace, you've been given a gift to use with grace to build other people up. And if you want to feel alive, just find somebody to bless with the gift that God has given to you. So then he goes on and he says, our new life in Christ. And Paul is just like, he's laying this foundation. You're powerful. I'm going to keep repeating myself because I learn best through repetition. You have a high rank. We're all together in this. God's working through all of you. We're one body. So don't go out there and be a divider. Don't create dissension. Don't start thinking that, you know, your little sect and group is, you know, the only one going to heaven. Basically, you know, he's telling them, yeah, there's all these five gifts, and some of us have these titles, prophets, and all that stuff, but don't glorify us. Our job is just to make sure you start operating in the ministry gift that's on your life, because we all are going to work in this together. And if we'll do this, there's going to become a maturity upon the family and the body of Christ worldwide, where they will not be shaken by trouble. One of the things at Mark's house, I've seen it, is a tenacious faith. Man, we have gone through some stuff together, but there are some rock solid, unshakable, wild warriors for Jesus up in this house. And you get close to them, you're going to see there's ministry scars all over them, but they still love God. They're in their spot. You know, I think of Sarah, man, she's up there singing and like bleeding out, and she's like worshiping her face off, right? Mama Didi, all kinds of things going through her life. I watched her for like so many years with Papa Doug. And I just honor her so much. And you guys can go back and listen to her testimony at some point. But, you know, he had had a massive heart attack, was altered mentally and physically. And she would wheel him in a wheelchair. And sometimes, I hope this isn't dishonoring, but Mom, he would be drooling. And she'd just, like, be wiping his face and singing, "My help comes from the Lord." And the anointing would fall and the whole place would be wrecked because, you know, he's dressed to the nine and she's in her spot. Amen? Thank God for the graces that are in this house. Thank God for the power of God that's in this house. Thank God for all of you that have loved each other so well. Amen. Amen and amen. So I don't have time this morning to go into all of this, but Paul, I'll come back to it because I want to stay true to our time. But Paul is not beating this group up. I'm just going to go through the next couple verses. He says, "So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God." He's talking about these unbelievers. He says, "Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, So, you know, you can seem spiritual, but be apathetic. He said they're not really believers. He calls them an unbeliever. But then he's like talking about apathy and spiritual apathy. You know, how do I know if I have true faith or not? Let me tell you something. You got true faith, it's going to show up in your life. It just will, because Christ is so committed to your future. So Paul's talking about, you know, it keeps him from the true knowledge of God. What is that? The knowledge of the grace of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession. So remember, he's in Rome. I mean, there's no rules. You walk in a place, you could have like 6 or 7 partners. No big deal, NBD. Right? All going on at the same time. And some of them, you know, claim they believe. Some of them were preaching messages. Some of them were, you know, down in the streets preaching and all of this stuff. But many of us struggled with lust and all these other things. But these people, because they didn't have the grace of God, they didn't have the true knowledge of God. Guess what? That, because perhaps some of them were even under the law. I don't know. But the strength of sin is the law. So instead of having remorse about it and actually like saying, "Lord, I need your grace to help me walk away from these things I grew up in or I learned or these cultural norms," they keep surrendering their life to this stuff. And Paul's saying, look, because you know God, because you know the grace of God, he's not beating anybody up. Do you hear anybody getting beat up in here? No. He's saying, this is not the way of Christ. This is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard this truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. And to be transformed, watch this, as you embrace the glorious Christ, the glorious grace within you as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. And don't let the passion of your emotion lead you into sin. And the sin he's talking about right here is not just sexual sin. He's talking about anger. He's talking about just being crazy angry. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Just to stop it, right? We come into this thing with all kinds of stuff. And he's like, the more you know about the grace of God, the more you know about your high rank, the more that you know about your position in him, the more you know that you've already been brought into this royal family and that you've already positionally been made as holy as Jesus Christ. Even though you maybe had lustful thoughts or maybe even you struggle with some of the old tendencies and memories from the past or you stole or whatever, he's like, you know, look, just keep living into your union with Christ, and pretty soon the life of Christ is going to start to outflow from the inside out. And those things that you used to like surrender yourself to, they just won't be there anymore. Right? It's not us trying to achieve something out here, like holiness is out there. You know, when I do enough, I'll get there. Positionally, one day I'll arrive at this place. You already are that inside. Right? And he's saying, oh man, I'm so passionate about this. He says, don't do it again, don't steal. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless those in need. And never let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth. I'm still working on that. But instead, let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. And I'm going to stop right there. Because it goes on and says, you've been sealed to the day of redemption in Christ. Okay? So use your words to bless other people. You got all this grace. You're just clean, holy, righteous, washed up, powerful people. Still battling that old man. How many of you battling that old man? And you got to speak to that and say, you're not who I am anymore. I am disassociating myself with my former life. We are no longer partners. How many of you ever had to end a partnership and you still have memories of the partnership? You're still dealing with some of the old residual of the partnership, right? Sometimes there's trauma from the old partnership. There's regret. I regret being a part of that. You can join me, worship team. Listen, don't live the rest of your life in remorse. Sometimes there's something there that's almost like involuntary. You guys know what I'm talking about. Involuntary responses, just old things that will pop up. In those moments, do not let go of all the truth I've taught you. You aren't that person anymore. You aren't in partnership with that anymore. That was then. And this is now. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Man. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? The gospel is so simple. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's perfection, but he loves us, and he knew we couldn't do it without him, and he came and gave us a free gift of eternal life, free, all for one action on our part: believing, faith in Christ, surrendering our life to Christ. And it's just, the enemy makes it so hard. I don't want to join a religion. I'm not ready to try to, you know, be a perfect person. And it's just been all this warped stuff. I'm not ready to be a perfect person. on any given day, I wake up and I'm dealing with my imperfections. Here's what God wants you to do. Stop focusing on your imperfections and receive the perfection of Christ. Amen. He's perfect in every way and he loves you. And he says, if you believe in me, if you just believe in me, come to me, I will never reject you. The scripture says, I won't cast you away. I won't cast you out. And today he's calling people to himself. And I really believe he's calling many believers into a deep, that's what Paul said. He's going to use you to call people into a deeper place with him. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there that got a bunch of stuff laid on them that wasn't true. And they're not even sure God loves them. Some of them are afraid to even walk through a so-called church door because of the amount of judgmentalism that's in the pews. But for the grace of God, there go you and I. Amen. Receive Jesus today. I'm not going to prod and pull. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, when he begins to deal with a heart, you don't have to pry people off of a church pew or, you know, drag them into a church building or whatever. They just are ready because they know they need God. And so receive him today. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe what you did on the cross is enough to get me into heaven. I believe you'll change me from the inside out. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, honey, the team will be here today. Please take advantage of them. They are always here to pray for you. I love you guys, and I will see you all Wednesday night.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.